All right, we are starting the meeting, our quarterly meeting for the Paraprofessional Money Purchase Plan, September 27th. We have four committee members present, myself, Lisa, Tom, and Heiklis. We will go straight to the approval of the minutes from our last meeting, which was held on June 7th. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve.
Heiklis, motion made by Heiklis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Tom has seconded that motion. Any discussion on the minutes? Moving the minutes? Okay, everyone in favor, please say aye. Heiklis?
Aye. Aye.
Wendy? Or sorry, not Wendy, Lisa. I apologize.
Aye.
And Tom, I think I heard an aye in there.
Yes.
I am an aye as well, so that item passes. We will go to item three, the administrative matters. At the last meeting, Heiklis had asked that 3A stays on the agenda until it's completely finalized. A continued update on the status of the fees that had previously been taken out from participant statements. Here comes Mike now entering. I'm not sure, Tom, I don't know if you were handling this. I know I was speaking to, I want to say it was Christine from the Board of Ed. Christine from the Board of Ed, but I don't, unless she's that iPhone, I don't think she's on the call. Did you have an update, Tom, from her at all?
On what specifically? I'm sorry.
That's okay. On these fees being paid, let me just
They
find
were,
my email.
excuse me,
Yeah.
sorry. They were paid. They were submitted by the board to Raymond James, and Raymond James confirmed that they received them, I believe. We were just waiting for NWPS to be able to distribute them to their to participants and post on their statement somehow.
Yeah, and
Okay,
that
no.
piece is that piece is wrapping up as well. So just like this is Steve from NWPS. So the fees were like as mentioned, were received by Raymond James and confirmed. We received the allocation breakdown of what fees should be credited, and so that's being posted and updated on the accounts. So that'll close that off and wrap that piece up.
May I ask a question? Hey, Steve, on the participant statements, how will that be reflected as the credit? Will it just say reversal of fee, or what will it actually say so Heiklis could inform the members?
Well, it's going to go in as a fee credit. So what I picture is that it would show up on the participant statement as under fee, but it'll be a positive amount. So instead of seeing, a negative coming out of your account for a fee paid, typically, which is what you'll see, you'd see a positive fee posting into the account, increasing your balance in the plan.
So,
Thank you.
how about those people who already withdrew or separated?
That fortunately, it's just about I think it's 11 or 12 people actually, and so I'm putting that list together, and I wanted to coordinate with Jessica so I can set up records in the plan and post that fee credit to their accounts. From there, I think then it's a matter of just reaching out to those individuals and have them decide how they want to handle that and take that money out of the plan. So, like I
Steve, how
said, it,
much
so the
are we
Oh, go ahead.
talking about? Is this, is there other funds in the plan for them, or just the fees is the only thing that's going to be in there now?
Well, the only thing that would be in there would be the fees. And so I suppose that would be a question also how you'd want to, because nothing's been posted for them yet. And I can see, double check to see how much we're talking to, because it's not a lot for those
Yeah.
individuals. I don't know if that's something that you want
Because
to.
we would have to, I mean, I don't know how much the amount is either, but we would have to try to track these people down and get them to fill out paperwork to submit to go through the whole process, right?
Right.
We would have to try to locate them.
If you don't have anything recent on file, any address information or anything like that, then if they are lost, then yeah, it would be potential for kind of a headache if that happens. And the amount that we're talking about, I just pulled up the file real quick. So again, it's not that many people, fortunately, and the amount itself, gosh, yeah, the amount itself, it's $946.33.
For the total of how many people?
10 or 11, I think you said, maybe.
11. Like it's 11 people, total of 946.33. So, I mean, it's something that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a couple ways to handle that. One would be the what we were just discussing, which seems like it might not be the best, you know, use of everybody's time. The second step might be maybe post that to the plan's forfeiture account. That could be used later for the plan contribution offset. Those forfeiture dollars can be used towards that. So essentially, it would go back to the participants in the plan. Mm-hmm. And then, or a third final step might be allocating it to taking that same file and allocating that $900 to all of them. I mean, probably the second option would be the best is just taking that and posting it into, you know, the forfeiture account and using it for the plan for later on. But that's not right. My call. That would be up to you how you don't handle. But it's we're talking 11 participants that are on that file that no longer have a record in the plan. Grand total of what would post across those 11 people, a total of $946.33.
Okay, yeah. So if you could just send me the list and I can go through it and just see how long ago these people left. If we have more contact information for them, we can maybe try and track them down.
Certainly.
So, okay. Steve, wonderful. Let me understand what you're saying here. You're saying of all the people on that list, only 11 people that you don't have contact information for?
Correct.
So everybody else is either active or you have some connection with them.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. They're either, like you said, either active or they're in the plan with, you know, other funds in the plan. So we have a record and a balance with, we have a record for everybody else except for this group of people. They're not anywhere in the plan in our system.
So this could possibly mean that they left prior to year 2000, correct?
Well, the fees themselves date back, I think they went back as far as 2016 through 2022. And as I look at the file breakdown, it looks like it could go back as far as 2017. So the credits on that file noted the year that it was credited for. And so I see the earliest on that file is 2017. So it looks like around 2017, 18, 19, 20. So is where these so it could go back that far. It could go back as far as 2017 that people may have been gone.
Okay. Hey, Jess, sorry. This is Mike Ormney. Jess, why don't we just take the file that we use for the payment and just see who's active and not active? I think that would just give us an idea because that's what we use for the payment.
Yes.
Because I think that will kind of narrow it down.
The scope that we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't have the information on these 11 people. Like, if I was thinking they were before Munis, and that's why they don't have the information. But if it's from 2017, they should definitely be in the system, in their system, correct, in a census and in NWPS. So there's something wrong. I don't know how easily they'd be identifiable. But if Steve could just send me that list, I'm sure we could look it over today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. It's just these are people that have already rolled out. They pulled their balances out. So now there's no account open for them. So what Steve is saying is that these other people that are either still members or separated from service but still have an account open. So there's an accounting for them. So these 11 people have exited the plan, taken their money out, and there is no account open for them. Is that what you're saying, Steve?
Yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah, that's how I understand it too. So that's what I'm saying. If Jess gets that list, I think we can narrow it down and take a look at it. Because again, the fees that we paid were from 2016 to 2021 or 2022. I forgot what until current. Whatever the last fee statement we got was. So we should have their contact information if for some reason and Steve does not.
Yes. Definitely.
Wonderful. So I think, Hyklis, correct me if I'm wrong, that might wrap up item 3A completely. Does that satisfy what you were looking for?
No, I want to see, because I want to make sure, because I checked my account and I still can't see my statement updated, so it's not completed. I would want rather for it to stay, because a lot of people have not received theirs or have no idea whether or not it's paid back, including myself.
I don't think he said it was posted yet to the accounts. Steve, do you have a timeline of when that would be?
Yeah, I was double checking with my operations manager on that, because we're feeding the file through the system, and so he's checking on that. So I'll certainly give you an update as soon as I know, as soon as that's credited. But it's in the process, so to update each of the records on our side. So it should be done. It should be shortly. The update should be complete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you maybe send an email around, Steve, when it's done, just that way? Because we're not going to meet again for another 3 months, but at least that way, mm-hmm. Interim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that kind of leads us into 3B. Was there any other update from NWPS regarding distributions, issues with withdrawal applications? Hyklis, I know you also emailed about wanting this added. Did it kind of go with what we just talked about, or was there additional you want him to touch on?
Yes, it goes with what we talked about. I wanted to be sure that the monies are going in on time. I need to see an inflow outflow. I think I've asked for that already, to know when the monies are paid into the account. So I don't know why it's taking so long, because I know personally for my account, there's no update since MWPS took it over. So I don't know what I have in there. And I think it's the same for other members too.
So Hyklis, the update on the balance, I mean, valuation is done once a year. Mm-hmm. So the statements and what's in there is only going to be there for what's in there from last June, because the valuation for 2023 is not done yet. And all of the money that gets put into Raymond James goes right into Raymond James by check. You mail them to the company. NWPS doesn't have a record of that until the end of the year when they do the valuation. So they're not going to be updating the statements every month week, or every time there's a paid deposit. That wouldn't be on the statements.
No, that's not what I'm asking for. My statement has not been updated for a whole year since the census.
Right.
They have not
completed the valuation. The final valuation for June of 2023 is not done yet. Correct.
Right. So that's a delay, that because we usually have that done sometime in the summertime. So from my understanding, the fees went in August, and that's past the validation date. So there has to be a way for the fees to get into the account in a timely fashion, so that validation can be completed at the end of June. So that's why I'm asking that we be informed as to when these monies are going in, because it seemed like they're going in late, and you know they need to be on time, because we are paying, it's a matching plan. So if that 2% comes out of our pay and goes straight to Raymond James, then the board should do the same, or do it in some manner that is in a timely fashion. So validation date, everything can be completed and people could have their statements updated on time, is kind of what I'm asking for.
It's only a once a year valuation. It's only done once a year.
I do understand that. But now ours is not done once a year in a timely fashion this year.
But last year when we got the statements, I think it was, might have been January or November. Mm-hmm. So it's usually in the fall that we get the statements for the previous June. So it's not really even late yet.
No, we used to get it every summer, Jessica. It used to come out every summertime. And then when it's not done when we don't get it in the summertime, then we talk about it and said, it's late. So when are we supposed to have it? So I need to know then, when are we supposed to expect to see the validation complete and we get our statements, and so that this can be done in a timely fashion, so everybody knows when to expect their statements And we know when the Board of Education is putting in the money, is that they're putting it in a timely fashion. That's what I'm trying to establish.
Right. The board only puts it in once a year in the summer after we complete our final year files and everything in July and August. We get the total amount for everybody contributed. We tell the board cuts one check in the summer and deposits it. Then a NWPS now has to take all of the information from what the employees put in, what the board matched, what the investments made from Raymond James, all the activity that happened, people that withdrew over the year. Everything gets done, and that takes a couple months, I believe, 2 months or so for the company to perform the whole valuation. And then the statements are usually mailed out in the fall. I can look back in the last couple of years, but it's usually the fall. I can't recall them ever being done in the summer because we don't even finish our portion until the end of July.
Yeah, and I think a census used to be quote unquote closed during the summer, which was one of the issues we had with them last year. And they never started it until September, usually.
Right. So a census used to, exactly, Leanna, thank you, because that's one of the reasons we changed to NWPS, because a census, while they were in the process of doing our valuation, they wouldn't deal with any of the withdrawals. They wouldn't accept anybody's withdrawal. They made everybody wait till September. Now NWPS can still do that. They will still do it, even though they're doing the valuation, because we have this now set up where people can take the 80% and then 20% later. That's what NWPS can still be doing, that they can give the people the 80% if they come in the middle of July, even though we're, you know, doing the valuation for this year. So, I mean, it is usually the fall, though, that we get that you guys get the statements.
So here's my problem here, then. If that's the case, what you're saying, Jessica, how is it that people are told that they can only get their full withdrawal? If somebody wants to withdraw the full amount, they have to wait until validation date, which is June 30th. How will they get that in on June 30th if that is not completed?
They won't get until the following year. They have to wait until the following year to get the final 20%. Right, Steve? Am I correct with that?
You're correct. Yeah, what you described, it used to be that the distributions were held, they had to be held until the next valuation. But then with that recent amendment, like you described, that 80% of the account can be released and processed now, even in between valuations.
Yeah.
Then once the next valuation is complete, the remaining balance can be processed and paid out. That's where we are right now.
Steve, do you have a timeline of the valuation to be completed by?
Well, this first year, I mean, since the plan just came on board with our firm late last year, and it's our first go around with the valuation right now, what we're trying to do is we're working on completing the valuation, and we've needed to get material from your side, from a census, you know, in order to get a proper starting off point. Jessica, you've been a huge help in the process. There's a final piece that we need right now, and I have a message out to a census to see if they could give us their working papers, something that shows and ties the June 30, 2022 trust report from First State to the New Haven participant statements that were generated by census. The reconciliation that ties those two pieces together, the trust report to the participant statements, because the balances, because there's, you know, activity and things going on, it's not like a straight penny for penny. Okay, the evaluation starts and stops here, and then the participant statements start and stop from here. We need to see that in between and what they were working on, and so that's the message I have into a census right now, so we can get a good footing and get that proper starting point. And then going forward, after this first valuation is behind us, future valuations, they should go much smoother and much quicker. Because we'll have all the, from this point forward, we need to look back and pick up where we left off. We would have all the detail. We did all the work on it. But it's right now, that's where we are with that piece. We have, I think, pretty much almost everything else covered, all the questions we had and things like that. It's just now that starting off point is what we're looking at. And I know you had sent over a census statements that they put together, but it's still missing that component.
How long ago did you reach out?
They actually did the reconcile.
How long ago did you reach out to Ascensus? How long has this been, have you been waiting, and have they been responsive since they're terminated?
Well, this most recent communication, this was just this piece of it, because I thought they had given all that to Jessica, because I had reached out to them. They have been fairly responsive. So I had reached out to them and asked them for that information. They said that they had sent it through their portal to New Haven. So I checked in with Jessica. She went out, she pulled what she had, and all the material that she had is not exactly what we were looking for. So what Ascensus had provided, we've gotten. And so now I've gone back to them and asked them, well, you know, I have all the pieces. We just need this reconciliation piece tying the trust report to the participant statements. So it's been ongoing. It's been recent. It hasn't been like I've reached out to them and haven't. It's, you know, crickets. So it's been fairly good feedback, response time from them. And then this most recent communication that I'm describing right now, this just happened within the last, you know, day or so, is needing this this final piece, just so we have everything in front of us.
So I'm still maybe a little lost in a sense here, Steve. Help me out. So speaking of my particular case, and I'm sure it is with others, the same amount that was on my statement from Ascensus is the same amount that I'm still seeing. And if I were to withdraw, what would I be withdrawing? Only 80% of what I have on my statement, or the entire amount that I have on my statement?
Well, there's two types of distribution. If a person is retired or terminated from New Haven, in that instance, for a terminated distribution, that's where that 80-20 would come in. So at this moment, the distribution would be 80% of the account balance as of the last or most recent valuation, in this case, June 30, 2022. Then once the 6/30/23 valuation is done, the remainder of the account would be known, it would be determined through that process, and it could be paid out at that point. So it's the 80% would be 80% of the most recent valuation. And so in this instance, the June 30, 22 valuation.
Okay. I did not understand it to be that way. I understood it to be that you could have taken out everything at the end of June. You could take, if you wanted to separate, you could just say goodbye at one time and don't have to interact again. So can we make that happen? So if someone wants to just roll out all of what they have at the June 30th valuation, that they can do that.
Well, I think in some cases it what could drive it also is the termination date. Because if somebody terminated in September 2023 and we're doing the June 2023 valuation, there's a 3-month period there where they're into the new year. And so they might have had contributions, they might have company contributions, so they would carry over to the next valuation. So there could still potentially be some, in that instance, there could still be some spillover and some follow-up that would be needed for them to get their whole account. Now, if they terminated in, let's say, May of 2023, mm-hmm. as of the June 30, 2023 valuation, in that case, they should be done. So I'm thinking that in that instance, it could be more of a clean process. But it's in order to get there, it's just completing that June 30 valuation for somebody who terminated within that plan year or before the June 30 date. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing in that instance, it could be more of a clean process where their distribution could be fully processed. But even then, you're still going to be in that potentially that 80-20%, because we may have some of those folks in the group that are pending that final payout, that 20% payout piece. We could have some of those folks already in there, because they would have gotten at this point 80% of the June 30, 2022 valuation. And we figure out what their final balance is for June 30, 2023, and they get their remaining piece. So it's, I don't know if there's ever, it seems more often than not there's going to be that that follow-up piece potentially with the evaluation process and the annual, just that annual calculation piece.
We also have to think about the people that get paid over the summer, Hyclus. So even if somebody leaves June 30th and retires, if they're set up to be paid over the summer, they're going to get paid in July and August and have contributions that they have to put in the plan for the following year.
Okay, so there's not a real clean sweep. The safest thing to say there is it's 80-20. So people don't expect 100%. Is that what?
Can
is
I
that
ask what, a question? Say if
Minnie,
I want
to. Minnie, wait, Minnie. Thanks. So I think that's the best thing to do is to let people know it's an 80-20, so that's more of a comforting answer than to say you can take all of it at once. Correct?
Yes.
Correct.
All right. Any problems, Steve? Any issues for people that are applying for the 59.5, applying at 59.5? That are I know some people were having difficulties getting paid, or the process was a little slow.
Yeah, I would like to know the process. Because I applied first, they said we could take some
Minnie,
one time.
Minnie, wait a minute, please. Wait a minute. I'll give you an opportunity at when we're almost done.
So the in-service piece, I know some of those got held up because they were in the mix with all the forms that were coming in for the distributions. The amendment was put into place, I think, last April, and it retroactively affected the whole year. And so it's just then it's again, a lot of this is just the initial transitioning and getting the plan up and running, the annually valued aspect of it. Those in-service withdrawals, though, have been processed, and that does bring up one piece. Hyclus, I think you and I had maybe touched on this a little bit just in conversation, and that is the in-service distribution. It possibly might be something that you'd want to maybe revisit, just because to allow the in-service withdrawal is typical. You know, it's quite common across retirement plans. Age 59.5, even though you're still active, you're able to access your account and take money out of the plan. And the way it reads right now, the amendment allows that, but it allows for only the entire account to be processed, and it can only be done once. And so I don't know if that was necessarily it seems pretty straightforward. That was the intent for the amendment, and where I'm coming from with being maybe revisited potentially is alleviating some of that to say maybe you can do only one per year, maybe you could do a specified amount, but what's most common in a age 59.5 withdrawal is that usually participants can specify an amount, and there's, you know, maybe a limit of once a year they could do it. In a lot of cases, there is not a limit. Now, reason that might be a good idea in this case, because the plan is only valued, it's annually valued, so it's just once a year that the account's getting updated. So, probably would make a lot of sense to limit it to once a year in this instance. But potentially, but again, opening that up to be able to do once a year versus one time and you can't do it again. And then also maybe opening it up to be able to specify an amount, you know, if you only want to take a certain amount out of the account. But all that to go back to what you were asking, the in-service withdrawals, they've been processed up to this point. And right now, as it stands, in-service comes in, you could do 100% of the account, and then that kicks out to the person.
But because that 100% is not even doable, there's no 100%.
Well, it would be a 100%. When I say 100%, 100% as of whatever the last or most recent valuation is what you're limited to for that in service. So that kind of goes back to what we were just talking about, where even in that instance for in service, you're still going to have some of that spillover. And it's even more common in a 59.5 distribution option, though, because the person is still active. So they still have contributions coming in, company contributions coming in. They're still an employee, you know, with the company. So that's typically the case in an in-service withdrawal situation. So regardless of the valuation, usually that person is going to have, you know, some of that spillover until they retire.
They retire, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another topic we will have to deal with the in-service withdrawal, where they can take less than the full amount.
I think we already touched on that, though, when we were coming up with this amendment last year with the lawyer. And it was specifically said that it would just be a one-time withdrawal, and then the remainder of whatever else they're putting in, or this extra 20%, would come when they officially leave departure with the city.
Correct. That was all agreed to. I mean, our other plans, like our 457 plan, I mean, they only allow withdrawals for financial hardships and, you know, major reasons. People will treat this like a loan. They'll go and get $1,000 every year if they can. It's going to be a lot of work on us. We can't open this up to that, to every monthly or year, you know, yearly withdrawals. I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea.
And yeah, I'm sorry. Let me add too that by no means am I telling you what to do or how to do it. I bring up just kind of what is some of the common things. I guess I should have mentioned that is, there could be very good reason. And just like you're describing too, that absolutely is something to take into consideration because, well, first, in service withdrawals, you don't even have to allow it. You know, in any 401k plan, even you don't have to allow that. But if you do, then of course there's certain rules, and then there's some of these rules, like what you're describing, is going to be just like what you're saying here. What best is going to fit for your participants? You know your participants best.
Right.
And in some cases, you do have to put measures in place to protect participants from themselves in some cases. And then also administratively, you know, how much foot traffic is it going to generate and how many people you have come in? So absolutely those things. So it is feasible too. What you have in place isn't wrong. It's not bad. And if it fits for your group, then you're done. You don't have to do anything with it. But I did want to touch on it just to put it out in the conversation. That's all.
And we're going from, you know, 25 years of no in-service withdrawals at all to at least allowing this once, you know, one time. So we are allowing it now, but we never allowed it at all and we don't allow it in our other plans. Unless it's really a financial hardship, a real major problem.
So my thing was, what I wanted to mention was some people don't want to take all of it. They just want to take part of it for the one-time withdrawal. Can we amend that from all to up to all? Can we work on amending that to not just all, but up to all? Or is it allowable, Steve, with somebody just said, I only need $2,000 and I'm, you know, they can take $2,000 as opposed to all.
But still understand that it's a one-time thing and they can't take anything else.
They can't
change
their mind.
Nothing else.
I know. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I just want to know.
I don't see a problem with that.
I wouldn't see a problem either, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would that be that person shouldn't have to take all if they don't want to take all? Correct, Steve? Am I?
Well, that is an option. Yes, you could do that. You could open that up a little bit, and like was described, you could still keep it as it's a one-time thing. You can only access it one time, and in services for any reason. So you can hop in there if you're age 59 and a half or older, and then you could take, like you're saying, Hyclus, up to all. But you could specify an amount. Like in your example, if the person only wanted to take out $2,000, they could do that. That's their distribution. Everything else remains, and the account continues on. As it stands right now, they would have to take the whole account. And a workaround for the individual could be the way it's written right now. They could take the whole account and roll it to an IRA and then take a distribution from that as needed. But it gets it out of this side of it, so you're not dealing with that administratively. But it's just a thought. Now, that does put the participant out a little bit because they have to take the whole thing, and then, you know, and they might very well just want to do a one-time thing, and I'm never going to touch it again. So it would make it more convenient for them if they could just do a piece of the account. But that's something that you'd have to evaluate is what best fits for your participants. And if you did want to do that, then it would just be a process to amend that change through your council, to amend that to just read that it could be up to the whole entire account. It doesn't have to be the entire account. And then all the other language could be the same. So you can still do it. It can only be a one-time thing. But you could choose an amount up to the entire balance, if that's something that you wanted to do that might fit better for you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Okay. Was there anything further that needed to be asked of NWPS on item 3B from any of the committee members? Okay, if not, we'll move on to item 3C, update on the RFP process for legal counsel. This was discussed at the June meeting, and a vote was made by the committee members to move forward with the process. Over the summer, Mike and I talked to the purchasing department who handles, you know, the RFPs for the city. There was no record there of any prior RFPs done for the PAIR pension plan, nor that I found in the pension records. So I believe in the past, again, because it's been a very long time, but I think it was all handled through the Board of Ed, the RFPs, since ultimately, I mean, all of the contracts anyways have to be passed by the Board of Ed, signed by the Board of Ed, you know, whatnot. So I was waiting to hear if they had found any information on past or, you know, previous RFPs done for legal counsel. I'm not sure if, Tom, if you have any information on this.
I have no records of any legal RFPs related to your plan.
Okay. Because Will Clark, I believe, was the one in charge of all of this.
That doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It just means that I don't have any record.
Okay. So we're kind of at a standstill right now. We haven't moved forward with the process of legal counsel because we're not quite sure if it's supposed to be run through the city or if it's supposed to be run through the Board of Ed.
So this is a relatively easy fix. I think what we need to do is Tom and I just need to spend a half hour together. The RFP should run through Bonfire like we did, like it does through all the other Board of Education RFPs. And we will get purchasing to solicit the RFP and then everyone can respond. Tom and I just need to write a scope of service for the advertisement. That's all. And then what will happen is we'll put out the RFP. We'll get responses. We'll bring the responses back to this board for review and approval. And then we will start the contract process with whoever is selected.
Okay, wonderful. Did anyone have anything to add or any other questions on this item? Let's go to item 4 and 5. Does anyone have any old business or new business they'd like to bring to the table? All right, then. It's in your hands, Derek. Investment report from Raymond James.
Okay, great. Thank you. Can I share my screen?
Yes, you should be able to.
Yep, I got it.
Okay.
I'm just going to burn through the investment report. So, you know, this is basically will be somewhat reflective of what you do see when the valuations are done. So this is a fiscal year end report. I just want to get this out of my way so I can drive. So this was as of June 30. So unlike last year, this year, the fund made money. You can see right here, this New Haven board, this is the fund last 12 months. So June 30, 2022 to June 30 of 23, the fund was up 5.12%. And so that's a positive 5% rate of return, a little over 5% on the money, which is great. So that will make up for what was the small loss last year and then put some more money in your pockets. So that's good. This pie chart over here shows the reflection of the allocation, you know, very, very conservative, only just under 33% in equities. So still a very small percentage of stock risk. You know, in this particular year, most of the return, if not all of the return, came from the stocks. So that 33% of stock exposure represented the majority, if not all, of the return. As you can see right here, for that same period of time, stocks were up 19%, almost 20%. Bonds were down. So what are the sleep well, we call traditionally the sleep well portion of the portfolio? You can see on all metrics, bonds were down anywhere from, you know, 0.5% to 3% per year. So what's normally giving you stability in the portfolio is actually a drag. We do have a nice cash allocation as well, so that helps offset that risk. So we are conservative with our portfolio, and we are conservative within that portfolio, how that portfolio is represented. Just something to notable mention here, since March 10th of 2020, when we first started working together, we've made $1 million on the portfolio, a little over $1 million, $1,040,000 of extra dollars on top of, you know, participants' contributions. So it's been some good growth of the portfolio. That's depicted here graphically. The blue line is the contributions and, you know, net of withdrawals, and the green line is the growth. So we're not at a high. Obviously, the market has come down a bit since 2021. 2022 was a rough year, as we all remember. And in 2023, we're starting to trek back up. So, but nonetheless, there's always, you know, positive growth above and beyond contributions. So that's important. And I'm just going to zip through. You know, you guys have all this in your packet, so I won't spend a tremendous amount of time on it. I just wanted to highlight that. This is one thing that we take a very, very strong look at every time we look at the portfolio. You know, obviously the goal of this board is to, you know, measure the risk. We want to make sure that we're growing your money, but we're growing it with as little risk as possible. Obviously, we need to take some risk. As you can see, you know, this past year, as we just talked about, if we took no risk and we're just in bonds, we'd be down money. So taking some risk is good at times. So that 30% equity portfolio did help drive returns. But what we look at right here is annualized risk. That's 7.47. That's actually one measure of risk. It's called standard deviation. So you see that 5.01% rate of return. This is, you know, since inception, the three-year number since inception, with a 7.5% risk number, or standard deviation, a little under 7.5, which is very, very good. To put it in perspective, you look down here, this is the global bond index, excluding US. You can see that was down 8.8% with a 10.5%, you know, risk metric. Your risk metric is better than basically every risk metric, excluding the US aggregate bond, which is just global, is just the broad brush bond market in the United States. But you can see that even that, the bond market was down 3.14% with a 6% risk. You're up 5%. So that's an 800 basis point difference above and beyond the bond market with just a little bit more risk. So for us, this is a testament of kind of what we've done collectively with you folks and collectively how we've allocated the dollars. The fact that we could still generate a positive return with nominal risk, risk very similar to the bond market, is really good, even in times of rising rates when bonds have been getting beaten up. So that's just something I wanted to highlight. I think that's really a good opportunity there to look at. And then every metric that we look at, the fund is still up. You know, last 3 years, last 5 years, up 17.5%. So you can really see some positive growth there. This shows you where the growth is coming from. So remember, we mentioned there's the portion of the portfolio that's invested in, you know, a balanced mix of stocks and bonds and such. You could see all the growth rates here. Last 12 months, 8.6%. Last 3 years, 11.4%. Last 5 years, 30%. So all of the growth is coming from the invested portfolio. The cash, as we know, doesn't earn a whole heck of a lot, but it is an offset. So, you know, when we got...
Really?
I'm sorry? When we got together collectively and put the asset allocation mix together, you know, the notion of this committee was, well, let's keep, you know, let's invest, you know, a little more than half. It was half, but it's now grown to a little bit more than half. Half the portfolio in, you know, the cash or near cash for to be conservative, and let's invest the other half. And you can see that other half has done a very, very good job of growth. I mean, over 30% over the last 5 years. So that's actually not 5 years. It's 3 years since March of 2020. So that really is a great testament here of what we've done collectively. This just shows cash flow on the portfolio, projected cash flow. I don't need to spend any more time on that. And then this is just a cumulative growth. There's that $1 million of investment results that we talked about. So all in all, things are looking very good. You know, I could talk briefly about the capital markets just to kind of say what we see moving forward. Before I do that, are there any questions with performance or the report that I just spoke of before I move on? Okay. With that said, I'm not going to spend a terrible amount of time here with the markets because we're not going to recommend any changes to the portfolio at this time. And the reason being is, you know, everything that we're watching in the market, the story is much the same that it was the last time we met in June. You know, still looking at the Fed, some things have changed. You know, we're coming off an aggressive Fed action, you know, Fed rate hikes. They're really trying to target inflation. Inflation's still a headline risk, but you can see that last week the Fed decided to pause on rate hikes. So that's good. There's about a 50-50 chance that they're going to raise again before year end. And if we anticipate a rate hike, I'll show you a little bit further down, it's going to be a small rate hike with the expectation of potential rate cuts next year. And we'll talk briefly about what that means for the portfolio and kind of what that means for the economy and your portfolio. But ultimately, we see, you know, some CPI, you know, inflation is picked up a bit, but it's not anything. It's you know, headline inflation, you know, it's oil. Here's the expectation of the rate hikes, 25 basis point rate hike before year end. We're looking at the odds is about 50-50. So it's like a coin flip, whether or not the Fed is going to raise rates again before year end. It's looking like a little, it might happen because we're starting to see some food and energy inflation peak up a little bit here. So if that inflation head up, we'll probably see a rate hike. But again, we're still watching that. We're not overly bullish and we're not overly bearish. And what do we mean by that? I'm talking about the stock market when I say bullish or bearish. We're just kind of saying, hey, fundamentals are a little bit stretched here. Valuations are a little high. There's no real screaming bargains in the equity markets. The equity markets isn't tremendously healthy. What I mean by that, the breadth of the advances in the stock market is still very narrow. And you can see that here with the narrow performance. So the S&P 500, so when we talk about the S&P, we're talking about the, you know, basically 500 largest companies. That S&P 500 is market weight weighted. So what that means is the companies that have the largest market cap have the largest representation on the benchmark. So those are the big companies like the Apples and the Googles of the world. And those companies represent the biggest weighting on the benchmark. So when those companies do well, the S&P does very well. And when those companies do poorly, that index does poorly. So we look at something called an equal weight S&P. So that is just saying, hey, we're going to equally spread out all weighting on all the S&P 500 companies. And you can see the variance is much, much different. So the S&P 500, the market cap weighted, which I just spoke of, is up just under 16%. We're equal weight. So if you equal weight at all the companies, you're only up 3.6. So what does that mean? That means that the breadth of stocks that have done well this year is very, very narrow. That's not indicative of a healthy stock market. We like to see a broad brush, wide. We want to see energy. We want to see materials. We want to see all the different sectors do well. And that would be a signal of a healthy stock market where we say, okay, the market looks good. We have more of a tailwind than a headwind. Right now, we're thinking we see a little bit more of a headwind than a tailwind. So we're not, again, we're not overly bullish, but we're not overly bearish either. We're not thinking that, you know, the market's going to have any cataclysmic event, knock on wood. So we're just kind of par for the course, charting forward. You know, we do an annual rebalance every once in a while. Once the valuation is done, we'll probably rebalance the portfolio. But there's really nothing to really speak of. And oh, by the way, while we wait, our money market and cash is paying us pretty handsomely. So it pays to be conservative right now. It pays to be patient. So that's kind of our theme for the next quarter, at least. So we are going to be patient. We're going to be conservative and just wait and see what happens in the market. And while opportunity presents itself, we will report back when there's an opportunity. But for right now, I think it pays to be patient. It pays to just take our time and be prudent. So that's our theme. That was much our theme back in June, but really much more so now as well. So I'll field any questions if there are any. Otherwise, that concludes our presentation. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Derek, very much. Mm-hmm. All right, that has concluded everything on our agenda. Again, our next quarterly meeting, we'll send out an email probably in November. It would be sometime in December. So we are all set to make a motion to adjourn. Is there anyone who'd like to make that motion?
No, I still had a question.
I'm sorry. Hello? Who's speaking?
This is Minnie. How are you?
Good. Thank you. What was your question?
My question, she answered a lot of the questions that I had in mind, but I wanted to know if you did take out, you know, to take out some of the money, not all of it, how long does it get to take to get the money? And why don't they have an IRA for that we can roll the money over? Does the company have an IRA for us?
Steve, I believe, is still on the call. I would assume you would need your own IRA company to roll it over to. Is that correct?
Do they have any suggestions where we could roll the money over to? Because when I did apply for some until they told me that I had to take out the whole thing. And I had a hard time finding an IRA, but I could see they had a lot of CD IRAs, which was very good also. So how do you go about getting an IRA?
That's something that I don't know, Derek, I don't know if you have any suggestions for that, but I just know from my side, this usually just through your credit union, through your bank, if you have a financial advisor, usually you have some account or some vehicle that you can roll over to.
No, they had none. The credit union didn't have any. And I go to Wells Fargo, okay. They didn't have any.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if you have any ideas, since you are the company that's holding our money, what we can do with it once we get it. How do we go about doing that?
Hey, Minnie, I could speak to that. So, yeah, certainly, you know, I think you were misinformed by whoever you spoke to at Wells Fargo. So if you go to Wells Fargo, they mm-hmm. typically have a banker, a private banker in Wells Fargo, if that's your bank. And mm-hmm. you just, yes. you open up an IRA. All an IRA is an account. So just like opening a checking account, it's just an account that's called an IRA. And then, uh-huh. and then when Jessica at NWPS process your distribution, they process it as a rollover, and you deposit that account into the IRA account uh-huh. at Wells Fargo. Okay. So certainly, I know the Wells Fargo downtown New Haven will have a banker there for you. I know for sure they okay. do, the one on the corner of uh-huh. Church. And then you could do whatever you want. You could buy a CD inside the IRA. You can buy, you know, you could have it sitting in a money market. You could have them invest it for you. That's up to you and you know, the discussion you have with the banker.
Okay. Thank you. That's the information I wanted. And I thank you for we're not having to take out all of it. I didn't need all that, you know.
Okay.
So that was it.
Sorry, we have to, I'm just wanting you to understand, Minnie, the change to not having to take it all out is going to be a process to get that approved. We have to have our lawyer write it into the amendment, and everybody has mm-hmm. to vote on it and everything. So it's not going to be, you can't do that now.
Okay.
Just so you know, I don't want you to think you can go there now and do that, because it mm-hmm. might be a while for that process to be done.
Okay. And so it's 80% that you have to take out, right?
Correct.
All right. Now, how long does it take to get that?
Steve, what's the turnaround if I was to sign the forms and upload them? About how long is it taking lately?
It would be usually, I'd say, up to 10 business days, but I think maybe like a week turnaround time or so, because by the time I get the form and put that through, I think it takes First State to, I think it's might be up to 3 business days to get a checkout. But I would say okay. that the turnaround time, I'd say if you give yourself about a week to 10 business days and be on the lookout for the check, because it would come to, it could go anywhere. It could go to your rollover account, or it could come to you. But mm-hmm. I think generally it's going to be that about a week to 10 business day turnaround time if you give it.
Okay.
But again, would this be for an in-service withdrawal, Minnie?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, in that case, then, yeah, that at the moment, the in-service withdrawal, you would still have to do the entire account, like
Yeah.
Jessica was mentioning, unless you wait and that amendment, it's decided that the amendment would be pushed through, then that could free up some of that ability for you. But in the meantime, if you needed to do something now, then it would be the whole account. You could roll that over, and
Yes.
if you did that, then from the rollover account, you'd be able to access. And now, again, you'd want to, as Derek mentioned, when you go to the bank and get them to get that squared away for you, you'd want to have them instruct you too, as far as accessing the account. What does that mean? Is there penalties? So they can walk you through that. But from this side of it, as it stands right now, if you were to do an in-service, it would be the whole thing. And then
Yes.
you're looking at maybe a couple weeks to get the check, and then you're in business.
Now, there's no penalty to that, right? Just taxes.
Right. Yeah. Once you're at 59 and a half, anything that's paid to you, there's no penalty because you're over that age. And then if you do a rollover, there's not even any taxes because you're just moving it from one account to the other account. So yeah.
So I would take the paperwork to the bank and they would do the rest.
Right, yeah. And you'd want to mention to them as well that the account, there is an after-tax component to it because your contributions into the account are after tax, and then the money purchase contributions, that's going to be considered pre-tax. So it's going to, if you're doing a full rollover, that piece would have to be addressed on that side too, because there's I think you'd have to roll the after-tax over to a Roth. And then the money purchase piece could be rolled over to just a traditional IRA. You could still do it all in the same facility. Banks, they have to do IRAs. They would do Roth IRAs. They do traditional IRAs. And it's really just the tax implication is what is important to note there.
Yes, I understand that. The tax is the main thing that you want to make sure that you have right. Okay, I thank you for the information.
Sure.
It's very good because I try to explain it. It just doesn't come out right. And when I called Wells Fargo, I spoke to them and they were trying to head me towards CDs. And I was like, no, I have to have IRA to get this money over there. So I will go in the bank and talk to them. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Minnie. I think we are back to everything being concluded. Is there a committee member that would like to make the motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Hyclis has made the motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Lisa has made that second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Wonderful. Everyone, thank you for attending. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank
You
you
too.
all. Have a good
Thank you. Bye,
one.
Hi, please.
Bye.
You too. Thank
Bye.
you.
Bye,
Thank
Jess.
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.